Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Death of Death, where we proclaim Christ's victory over sin, death, and everything else. I'm your host, Nick Stewart. Hope you're retaining your sanity today. It's a really bizarre time to be alive. Really weird time we're living in. I've never seen the world just stop like this, you know? If you've got $4 to spare, this would be a good time to sign up to be a member of the elect on Patreon. My industry as a barber has ground to a complete halt, so I need some money coming from somewhere. You never thought that you would hear a grown man beg when you turned this podcast on, did you, huh? Nah, things aren't that bad, but I do, you know, it would be awesome to have some new Patreon subscribers, and we just got our first two today. Nick and Phil are our first Patreon subscribers, so they'll soon be enjoying an exclusive podcast and some other things. Anyone available to spare $4 a month, go ahead and sign up for that. That's patreon.com/deathofdeath. So one of the many thoughts that have been provoked by COVID-19 is the issue of church attendance. Obviously, I'm sure anyone listening to this podcast goes to a church, so you've dealt with this in some way. Most, if not all, churches are foregoing their gatherings for the time being. I think any responsible church member should be asking whether this is the right call. And I personally respect my church's decision to halt gatherings for a few weeks, because how I feel about the virus is like constantly fluctuating. I have no way of knowing what the right move is. At this point, I can't say it's right or wrong to cancel church. So I respect my church's decision to do that based on the information available. It's just, I don't blame anyone for not thinking that this is a big deal, because all I can think of, you know, until things really started going off the rails, and I mean the entire economy just ground to a halt in like 3 days flat, all I could think about was swine flu and bird flu and Zika and Ebola and like all of the health scares that we've had that amounted to nothing. And this obviously seems to be different than that, at least in the reaction to it. There's no evidence to me yet that the actual virus is going to be worse than that, than those things that never really panned out, but it certainly could be. So I'm just kind of a total agnostic, you know, approaching the issue. Like a few weeks ago, I would have told you for sure that it's not something to worry about, but now I'm kind of going back and forth. So, you know, there's lots of things economically I'm thinking about related to this, but one specific way that this affects all of us is our relationship to the local church. I can understand the hesitation to do something just because the government tells you to. For example, like the government has said, it's not a good idea to have large groups of people meeting. So churches have taken this recommendation and have said the responsible thing to do is just not to meet for a few weeks. And I mean, that's even gotten worse to where like now we're just really not leaving our houses at all. My church still has a sermon online every Sunday morning, but a lot of churches have chosen to do nothing at all. I don't think there's a right and a wrong when it comes to a situation like this that's just so unprecedented, you know. What's normative is for the church to meet together. The author of Hebrews says not to neglect meeting together, so we take that to mean that we as Christians should be gathering with a local church on Sunday mornings like the entire history of Christianity has. But has there ever been a time in American history where most churches just didn't meet for a few weeks? I'm not aware of a similar event. There was an example of a church. Can't remember where they were. They definitely weren't here in California, but there was a blizzard on the forecast for Sunday, so they had church on a Saturday and closed the building that Sunday. And some well-meaning Reformed people online were criticizing them for gathering on a day that is not the Lord's Day. And I more than understand the sentiment, but the reality is they still had church. And if they hadn't done it Saturday, then a lot of them probably wouldn't have been able to make it. And then what would you say? So, although I have mixed feelings about having church on a day that isn't Sunday, I also have mixed feelings about hindering most of your congregation from attending. So, was that church wrong to do what they did? It's complicated. It's more gray than I ever would have wanted to admit just a couple weeks ago. Everything changed so quickly. We don't have blizzards every single week, but if we did, then maybe we could make a more definitive ruling on what they decided to do in the circumstances. What they did was not normative because that blizzard wasn't normative. And so what we do as a church now is not going to be normative because this virus is not normative. That's the nature of a providential hindering like this one. We've never had an event like this, so who says what the right move is? Should we disregard the warnings? Should we have a live stream sermon? Should we meet in smaller groups and stream the sermon? I like what Garrett Beeler's church did, Vision City Church. They had everyone park in the parking lot and watch the sermon and praise music from the car. That's a creative way of dealing with this, but I can't say that a church that chooses not to do something like that is acting incorrectly. So imagine instead of, like, let's just do a thought experiment. Imagine instead of COVID-19, the government decides that Christianity is like a virus and we should abstain from meeting together to keep that virus from spreading. There's no law yet against meeting together, but it's a suggestion. Now, should we listen to what they're telling us? Why is it okay to listen to them in the context of a virus, but not in the context of trying to wipe out Christianity? I don't have the answers to these questions. It's just some of the very complicated and, like I said, unprecedented issues that come along with an event like this. I think we could all agree that if the government was specifically out to get the church, then we wouldn't be listening to them. But how far do we take compliance? Obviously, I'm an anarchist, so that's probably the last thing I should be ruling on. I should probably just keep my mouth shut when it comes to things like that. But I think churches are doing the right thing by heeding the warnings. As of right now, I could change my mind, but I think as of this moment, I think they're doing the right thing. I may not like it. I may not like not meeting with my church on the Lord's Day, but I think it's the right move under the circumstances. But one thing I kind of want to think about, I want to get you thinking, is that some of us have absolutely no problem with taking a few weeks off from church. It's the responsible thing in this situation. We don't have to go to church every week anyway, right? Like, that's kind of how some people are thinking. As a reformed man, I disagree. I believe that Christians are commanded to be part of a local church and to gather together on the Lord's Day, sit under the preached word, take the Lord's Supper. In fact, I'm starting to suspect that most people don't believe church to be optional. And if that doesn't make sense, it will soon. It's going to kind of take me a while to flesh this out, but this is just something I've been thinking from a more logical standpoint. I'm trying to, kind of throw some thought experiments out and some questions that might, someone else might be able to take this stuff and run with it. I think we act like church is optional, but we have a very hard time being consistent with that belief. So most Christians, if they believe that church is 100% optional, are Christians that don't go to church. They'll say the name of the church they went to 5 years ago, but if you talk to them long enough, you'll find out that they don't actually go. I find that not going to church at all is actually more consistent than believing church is optional, and there's two main reasons for this. And the first one is God has never commanded something optional. An optional command is an oxymoron. Can you command something that's optional? God doesn't give us optional things, so why would we ever assume that church gathering would fall into this category? When a parent, here's the thought experiment. When when a parent commands their child to brush their teeth every night before they go to bed, this is a normative command for the child, for little Billy. Little Billy's normative command. Little Billy should know that there aren't exceptions to this rule in general, but if little Billy loses his arm, is he expected to brush his teeth that night? Probably not. It's extenuating circumstances. But eventually, the parent will expect Billy to learn to brush his teeth with the other arm, right? Like, little Billy's not going to grow into a 30-year-old man who still doesn't brush his teeth, right? Eventually, he will be expected to follow that command again, but there are times when he won't be able to. And so a less extreme example, obviously I cut the little kid's arm off in that example, but let's make it a more relatable one. You take a vacation and Billy forgets to pack his toothbrush. It's too late to go out and buy one, so what do? Well, Billy doesn't have to brush his teeth that night, but it's still his fault for not planning better. Billy knew he was going on a trip, and he knew that his parents wanted him to brush his teeth, so he should have adequately planned so that he could follow the command while he was on vacation. That example probably hits close to home, because often the number one excuse we have for not attending church is that we're out of town. Most, in general, have no problem with that excuse either. You're out of town, so what are you going to do? What can you do? But for those who think of church as an optional thing, I'm sure you have no problem with that man who misses one or two Sundays a year because he's out of town. But now consider that same man is out of town for 30 Sundays a year, maybe 40, say 50. Like, at what point is he expected to find a church out of town to attend while he's gone? Is church really that optional that you can miss 40 Sundays a year? If it is, then why go to church at all? Something must be driving you to attend those 12 Sundays a year while you're out of town. Okay, now I'm being extreme here, obviously, because I'm just trying to, like, logically chase something. Maybe you just like church. Maybe you do feel some obligation to go when you're in town, but the reality is that most people don't actually view church as optional. And I think if you said no, he shouldn't be missing 50 Sundays a year, then you do not think church is optional on some level. That's what I'm trying to prove, you know. I should say people who go to church don't really view it as optional, but they see loopholes. You know, there is a loophole where if I'm out of town, I don't have to go. But if you push that loophole far enough, even the church member who's most lax on this issue is going to be hesitant to go along with you. So that brings us to the second reason optional church attendance doesn't really make any sense. And that's, how optional is it? How do you measure how optional something is? If you believe it's optional, you were probably fine with the example of the man who missed twice a year because he was out of town, but you weren't willing to go along with him when he had to miss 50 Sundays a year. So ask yourself why that is. If church is optional, then that man is just as justified in missing 50 Sundays a year as he is in missing two. Like, it's an option not to go at all for years on end. So where do we draw the line, and why do we draw a line at all? If you're not okay with taking 52 Sundays a year off, then you don't really believe that it's optional. So how do you measure how optional it is? Two Sundays a month are optional, but the other two Sundays are mandatory, for instance. I think you can see that the logical consistency of this side of the argument starts to wane a bit when you throw actual numbers into the mix. God has commanded Christians to be a part of a local body. Otherwise, the majority of New Testament commands wouldn't be regarding how we treat other Christians. If God has commanded church gathering, then it isn't optional. I do believe there are examples of providential hindering. If you're sick, if your car breaks down on the way and you can't get there in time, if you're having a baby, don't mishear me and think that I'm saying there's never a reason to miss church and you're sinning if you're in a coma and you're not able to attend. The questions that I want to raise are, is choosing to take a vacation over a Sunday an example of providential hindering? Is accepting an invitation to a brunch that starts in the middle of your church service providential hindering? Do we have any responsibility to plan our vacations so that we're back by Sunday? Or make a quick Google search so we can go to a church that is in town while we're on vacation or on our trip, even if it's a business trip, whatever. We can Google. I mean, we're in the age where we can know literally everything. We can find 20 churches in town and go to one on a Sunday morning if we're out of town. Is a suggestion from the government a viable reason to cancel church gatherings?
And what if the suggestion was under different circumstances, kind of like I painted earlier? I hope I've said enough for you to know that I'm not criticizing churches that aren't meeting right now. I hope you understand my position on church attendance too. These were just things I've been thinking about during the 23 hours I spend inside every day. I mainly just wanted to raise some questions because this is probably a really good time to be thinking about where you stand as a church member. And I sincerely hope that once the sky stops falling, you're excited to be back in your church. I know I'm looking forward to that day. Consider where you go from here. I hope this time away from our churches will cause us to value them more. I saw some like poem or something on a local Facebook group, and they said who wrote it, but I can't remember. But it was basically talking about when all of this is over, and it was talking about how much we're going to value full grocery store shelves and being able to shake hands with a stranger and like the taste of communion. They even said in this poem, I don't know if this was a Christian who wrote it, but they said the taste of communion. And it's true. Like I hope that once we're back in the pews, once we're back meeting on Sunday mornings, that we approach church a little differently, and we don't view it as a flippant, optional thing. But you know, we would gladly schedule our trip to end on Saturday night so that we can be with our local church on Sunday morning. I don't mean that to be an oppressive, legalistic thing. I want it to be a thing of joy for all of us. So, all right, that's gonna do it for this week. Stay safe and sane out there. I know this is around the time you start chasing your family with an axe, but you know, I hope this podcast offered you some distraction from the quarantine. I want to encourage you during this not to waste your time. Watch some true crime documentaries, but don't just watch true crime documentaries. Get caught up on your Bible plan. It's March, so this is around the time it starts to really wane. Get caught up on that Bible plan, read some books, get started on that creative project that you've been putting off, all right? That novel you've been writing, that business idea that you really need to write a plan for, like just do it. Like, I've been wasting so much time during this, and I'm done. Like, I want to start being more productive with this. So thanks for listening, guys. Go to patreon.com/deathofdeath to become a member of the elect for only $4 a month. Follow at Death of Death Pod on Twitter and Instagram to keep in touch with us. Subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast app and leave a 5-star review. Share this episode on social media and tell some friends. Email me at deathofdeathpodcast@gmail.com and go to deathofdeath.net and subscribe to the email list. I've been your host, Nick, here to tell you that quarantine doesn't have to mean boredom. And if you're as committed to proclaiming the victory of Christ as I am, I'll be here to do it all with you again next week. Goodbye for now.